Well, those of you who were here and with us last week, I shared on a topic I entitled Faith Asking, Faith Asking. So before we can ask, the question is, are we believing? Are you believing before you even ask? In what we say and await for from the Lord our God. Now you can ask your friend and maybe not have great expectations, and sometimes they're based on experiences where they just don't come through, but not with the Father. So I showed you guys a little bit about faith asking. Well, along those same lines, tonight we're going to look at a record of a very crucial individual that had a big part in the history of mankind. So tonight's title, if you're taking notes, is called Faith Believing. Faith Believing. In this story, God calls Abram, later who he calls Abraham, to start his plan to rescue and bless the whole world through Abraham's family. As you can read in Genesis chapter 12, you can do that at another time, but I encourage you. There's one problem. There's one problem after what I just said that God says. Abraham is old and childless. And Sarah, his wife, is barren. But remember, if you read the record, God's not done. God's not done. God reaffirms his promise to Abraham, and Isaac was born. But as we'll see, the long-awaited son, Isaac, wasn't Abraham's true test, as we'll see. No, first we must remember that the Bible points to who? Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible does. All right? As we will see in Genesis 22, we will see the parallels and the foreshadowing between this story and the story of Jesus. Now, again, this is faith believing. So there's a lot of believing that happens in the record we're going to look at. But you know what? God puts these stories and records in his word so that we can draw from that and we can see what was possible then is possible today, even more so because we are his sons and daughters. So for this, let's read the record, and after I'll share some notes, okay? So everyone can turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. I may stop here and there throughout this, but if it's redundant, it's because the notes I'll share at the end may be similar. So, Genesis 22. And it came to pass after those things that God did tempt Abraham. He proved Abraham. One. And said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. Wouldn't that be neat if you're, I don't know, doing whatever it is throughout the day, and God says, Genie? And you know it's him. You would know. I mean, I'm sure. And you might be choked up, but you say, Here I am. That would be awesome. Just that section in this chapter really makes me go, wow. Wow. But you know what? Does it mean that God has never called you? No. It may mean you're not listening, but God calls us. And you'll know when his spirit is touching your spirit. Verse 2, and he said, God to Abraham, take now thy son. Now remember, he was an old man and didn't have any children, and Sarah was old and barren. But the previous records demonstrate that. But anyway, now he has a son. Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Okay, we're going to see parallels, like I said, and foreshadowing of Jesus Christ's story in here. So I'm not going to say anything, but I think you might pick some of these up. He says, take thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, lift him, upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. Okay, right there is one parallel already. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten son, and God loved him. Okay? verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. So far, so good, because Abraham is doing what God has asked of him. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. So I don't mean to tell you the whole movie and how it ends, but see here what it says. This is crucial. When I read this, I didn't catch it, but I did after. It says, I will go yonder and worship and come to you again, and the lad. So he's saying, whatever's going to happen, Isaac and Abraham are coming back, okay? So keep that in mind. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Do you think his son was saying, what kind of a coat are you giving me? But you will notice as we go on, not once does Isaac say, hey, get this off me. What are you doing, Dad? He's being obedient to this point, okay? And the big and, a knife. And they went, both of them, together. No one else, just Isaac and his father, Abraham. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Honest question. So far, he didn't know what was about to happen. Okay? So you could say, at that time, he was the perfect lamb. He was the offering that Abraham was getting ready to do. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, crucial words, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Still, it doesn't say that Isaac was fighting his father so that he couldn't tie him or put him with this wood. It was still going ahead according to plan. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And you don't hear Abraham saying, God, if there's another cup, can you pass this on? Or why me? Or do I really, really have to do this? He was being obedient to the Father. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, and he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest or reverence God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Whoo! Now, his son should have been saying, whoo, but also Abraham, okay? But God knows the details. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in the multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. That's a lot of folks right there. If he just said the stars of the heaven, that'd be a lot. But just to be sure that he understood what God was saying, he said the grains of sand in the sea. There was a time when I was super curious, and I said, how many granules of sand are in a teaspoon? And I got the answer, and it was just a teaspoon was a lot. So you say a cup, a pitcher, a shore, a continent, there's a lot. There's a lot. Verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So you see, this record, like I said, it parallels the story of Jesus Christ. We'll see the parallels and the foreshadowing between his story and Jesus, like I said. Some notes we can take away from the story of Abraham and Isaac, and I just made a few notes here. Note number one, both Isaac and Jesus were promised sons. Parallel number one. Neither the mother of Isaac, Sarah, or the mother of Jesus, Mary, were supposed to be able to give birth. Number two, and you can read the one about Jesus in Luke 1:30-35. And in Genesis 18:9-10, Isaac's birth was announced. Point number two, both stories of Jesus and Isaac are identified as their father's one and only son. For this, in Jesus' life, we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there are others, my brothers and sisters, there are others. Isaac, we just read in Genesis 22, verse 2. Point number three, both Jesus and Isaac submitted to their being sacrificed. Jesus Christ, he did give it a last pitch saying, can this cup be, but he said, not my will be done, but yours. And it doesn't show, or it doesn't say, that Isaac ran from his father when this is about to happen. He was going through with it, and his father was going through with it. But the angel said, whoa, stop. God sees how you reverence him, and you don't need to do that. God's going to get this sheep stuck in the thicket over here, and you can sacrifice that lamb. Number four, both were associated, like I said, with a lamb. Jesus, in John 1:29, you can see it there. We also know Isaac was meant to be a sacrificial lamb because of the context in Genesis 22. If you read the context in there, specifically in verse, let's go there real quick, because I think we read this already. In Genesis 22, let's look at verse 7 and 8. We'll reread that. Okay. It says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse 8 said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. And the final point, number five, I wrote that this wasn't Abraham's first experience with God. Through many of Abraham's successes and failures, Abraham knew the character of God. Abraham knew the character of God. And what knowledge to have in your heart. And this was also a prophetic reenactment of, as God asked prophets to act out these things, such as Abraham did with Isaac. There are other records where God asked prophets to act these things or to do them. So let me say this in conclusion. On the surface of what we just read in Genesis 22, it can be difficult to fully understand. But when we notice how this story fits with the broader context of Scripture, we see how it points us toward God's solution to the problem of death in our world. Abraham's words to Isaac ultimately point to Jesus. God himself will provide the sacrifice. Amen? Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reality in your word and how if we bother to study it, Father, and to work it, we too can all see the information you want us to know. We can all see how things led up to our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all that he did. Yes, Father, what he did was to save all men. And Father, what others did was, again, a foreshadow or a parallel to this. But it works as a reminder to us of what you had planned all along. And the ultimate, Father, is it saved man today, that we can enjoy our days knowing, first of all, who we belong to, and second of all, that we have eternal life awaiting us as we await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I thank you again for everyone here tonight and their understanding of your word, Father, that you open up their hearts and enlighten their eyes, Father, to see what it is you want us to know as we make that effort and that commitment to open up your word and read it, Father. So I just thank you for the realities in our life, Father, and how we are truly a blessed and delivered people because of what Jesus did and because of your perfect plan, Father. And I thank you again for each heart here. We can carry that message to others, Father, as we serve you and one another all in Jesus' name. Amen.